Hey, I'm Coach Zen, a certified life, spiritual, and self-awareness coach for women. Welcome to Life Herbs Podcast, an inner development podcast designed to connect, strengthen, and nurture the interior parts of you, that is, your inner self. Here, you will receive insights that will support you in your journey so that you can reshape your life and be your best self. New episodes of Life Herbs Podcast airs bi-weekly on Sundays and is available on all major podcast platforms. Get ready to enhance your awareness of the inner self. I want to jump into some of the questions from our listeners. Speaking of mom, a couple of moms, I literally, Florence, had to narrow down. There were so many questions.
So many questions.
So many. I had to narrow them down. So the first one is, when is the best time to start releasing your child, meaning letting go as they prepare for college? Because a parent starts to become more of a consultant. As you know, the child is getting older, they move into that consulting role. I like to say that coaching role, really, to support the child in college. So what suggestions and advice do you have in regards to that?
College is an interesting transition in life because it's taking a lot of trust from the parents to allow them to kind of, you know, fly the nest. And then also a lot of trust for the college student who probably maybe hasn't had a whole lot of independence before, where they're in charge of their schedule. They're in charge of keeping themselves safe. And, you know, they don't have someone necessarily in the watchtower. And so as you're getting ready for this transition with your child, communication, like we keep talking about here, is key. But I want to dive a little bit deeper about that communication aspect. You as a parent for the first time are not going to be able to see and experience the relationships your children have or the ones that they're forming. And, you know, when they're younger, you have a little bit more control over the friends that they're keeping, or, you know, maybe you're not crazy about a certain friend and you're having a conversation about, like, this is just a person that you know, it's not good for you. You know, the home life and whatever's going on there, you have a little more control. Well, now they get to college and you don't have as much control with the relationships that they're forming. And the only way that you're going to be able to continue keeping a finger on the pulse of it is if they feel comfortable still coming to you and talking to you about what's going on in their lives. And this is something that starts before they go to college. My mom, before Safe Place was a thing, she was that for me. And my mom always made sure that I knew, and to my siblings as well, that no matter what was going on in our life, we could talk to her. And it absolutely changed how I created relationships in my life, but then also changed how I felt revealing the hard things. And my mom was always there. And when I went to college, I felt like I could call her and tell her about the things I was struggling with, or I could call her and tell her about the joyous things. But I needed her probably more in college than I did even when I was living under the same roof as her, because I realized how much I depended on that relationship to be an anchor for me, but then also to be a place where I could brainstorm things, I could work through things. And it made my mom feel better knowing that she was still needed, that she also felt like she knew and had a snapshot of what was going on in my life there. So that's for you parents that are struggling with this transition, I hope this is answering the question as specifically as this person's asking it, then make sure that there's a way that they're still going to want to connect back with you, that they're still going to want to let you in on their lives. And that's something you have to work on before they leave, though, because once you're not there within arm's reach, you hope that then they're going to make more of an effort then to reach back to you because they can feel that sense of missing something, not just them, but the sense of missing something that they relied on.
And what are some ways that they can work on that prior to the child going to college?
So do you know how old the kids were, the person that asked this question, where they are right now, how old they are?
He's either a junior or he may be graduating from his sophomore year going into his junior year, the fall of this year.
So one thing my mom always did well, as she, you know, now a junior is probably driving, but my mom always wanted the friends and everyone to be over at her house. She always wanted them to be, you know, kind of socializing. You know, and before I started driving myself, my mom was always the mom that drove all the kids around because she wanted to hear what we were talking about in the back seat. I don't know why kids think that you can't hear them when they're sitting in the back seat, but my friends would just start talking about everything in front of my mom. And I'm like, I can't believe they're like talking about all this stuff, you know, who likes who in school and this and that stuff they would never talk about in front of their parents, but they talked to my mom about it. And my mom became that person to all of my friends. You know, that was, you know, they wanted Mrs. Romano, you know, they wanted to talk to her about the boys that they liked or, you know, someone that was being mean to them and get mom's opinion. So I would say, you know, not forcing yourself on your child at that age, you know, to, you know, make them talk to you, but make sure it's in a non-threatening way. If they feel that you're coming at it with a lot of judgment, or you're going to make them feel embarrassed about something that they're going to reveal to you, it's going to keep shutting them down. So that's what I would start working on now, is start drawing it out of them a little bit more in just kind of a natural way, just not prying into their life, not looking like you're trying to pry because you want to catch them in something. It's because you just want to talk, and also start revealing stuff about yourself as a parent. Maybe the moments you failed, the moments you made mistakes, that's going to bond you to your child too in a very specific way. I say this, do it when they're younger as well, because children think we have it all figured out as adults, that we don't make mistakes, that we don't fumble, but we do. And so I think that's important for you to continuously show your children, is that it's okay to make mistakes, but also model how you correct those things or talk about things that happened in your past, things that scared you, things that changed you, things that built you up, things that brought you down, things that brought you joy, because you never know when they're going to have to reach back in there at some point when something happens to them and think, I don't know how to handle this, but wait, no, I actually think I might know how to handle this. I know my mom went through this, or my dad went through this, or my aunt, or whatever it is, and I know how they handled it. So now this is going to help me problem solve that. Again, it's those small things that may not seem like enormous meaning attached to it, but those small changes that you can make lead to a lot of big results once they go to college. I could just put myself right back in there, right back in school, and think of all the times I called my mom to ask her something or to talk through something with her, or tell her, oh my gosh, this happened. And I felt comfortable doing that because I wanted her to know. I wanted her to be a part of it. You know, so start working on that with your kids now, where when you're talking to them, you're not coming at it with judgment or trying to embarrass them, because that's going to start to open them up more, and also help you open up more to them too about the things that have happened in your life, that hopefully they don't make the same mistakes you do.
I love that, Florence. It reminds me too, I heard someone say that instead of wanting to keep your child away from things and protecting them so that they don't have to endure certain situations in life, prepare them for it.
Prepare them.
And that's what I heard you say when you had said, oh, well, I may know how to navigate this. Like as a child in college, like a situation happens, oh, I may know how because I learned this from mom. I learned this from dad, what have you. They showed me how to do this. That is truly the best way to prepare your child.
Exactly. It prepare them, and not to scare them necessarily, but you know, my mom would always say, there's nothing you could do that would shock me or that I don't know about, that I haven't experienced. You know, that should be the point of relationships, is that we just can help each other not maybe have to suffer as much, you know, because someone else has gone through it before we have. And that maybe it makes it a little softer for you if it happens to. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt or it's not painful or, you know, that the lesson learned is not going to be a hard one. But if you can know that you're not alone in feeling a certain way or something happening to you, it does help that healing process. It does help you process. And I think it does also help you make better choices during the healing then. Because you're able to go back and know someone told me how not to handle it, or someone said, this is what worked for me, and you're going to try that. You know, it's nice to be able to have an arsenal of things to go into and say, I'm going to look through all this stuff, and I'm going to pick some stuff to figure out, you know, pick some stuff to try. Sometimes it's trial and error. Your relationship with your child is going to be that too. But preparing them, the only way you're going to be able to do that again is through communication and honesty.
Definitely, definitely. Stop searching and start traveling. Let True Vacation manage your plans so you can experience the freedom of exploration. With services designed for individuals, couples, families, or groups, cruises to far-off destinations, or tickets for a night out on the town are just keystrokes away. True stands for travel, relax, unwind, and explore. Follow them on Instagram @true_vacation_4U. And on Facebook @truevacation. Mention promo code LIFEVERBS to receive $50 off, you all, on your first full reservation deposit. Come on, somebody. Explore what this world has to offer with just one click. So why wait? Unleash your wanderlust today with True Vacations and see where adventure takes you next. This information is also located in the show notes. Now, this next question is a three-part question. Florence, please provide actionable suggestions on how to manage being a single mom burnout, misbehaving / disruptive children when outnumbered. And when she says outnumbered, she has two kids. One is a boy. Another one's a girl. The boy, I believe, is 5.
Okay.
The girl has not started first grade yet.
Okay.
And then she also has her mom that lives with them. So she feels very outnumbered.
Oh my gosh. God bless her. First of all, I mean, that's a lot. And I can relate to a full house like that. Again, I grew in a multi-generational household as well. I want to start backwards though with the mom. I hope that the mom, how the health of the mother is is she able to help her daughter? Does she watch the kids for her? What's the situation there?
Excellent question. Her health is not the best.
Okay.
She's healthy in the way that she is able to be present, but she's not as fast moving.
Okay.
So when it comes to watching the kids, you know, if the kids were to get into something or what have you, that is a concern that the mother does have. So yes, the mother is not as well.
Okay. Well, I'll say this, you know, when your mother has a mobility issue, I would say there, you know, because she can't be running around with the kids and, you know, maybe playing with them on the floor and doing all of those things. It would be a different story if she was. That probably would help alleviate some of her burnout if she had someone else in her house that was able to step in in the same physical way that she is. But because she can't, and she's a caretaker to her mom in some ways, a lot of ways probably, that's also causing her burnout, because caretaking on every level, whether it's her children or, you know, a parent that has, you know, health issues, that's compounding it. So with the mom specifically, if she has siblings or other people to rely on, it would be great if someone could come in and help her with her mom in that way, just to visit with her mom, or just to be another presence in the house for her, so she feels like she doesn't always have to entertain her mom. Because if she's busy with the kids, then maybe the mom feels lonely. Maybe the mom feels overseen. She's not getting a whole lot of attention. It would be nice if someone else could come in and give her a little bit of entertainment, so the mom can concentrate maybe just on the kids and not feel like she's failing her mother. So I don't know if there's siblings or relatives that could help in that way. Going back to a single mom and the burnout with the kids, this is where asking for help is probably the most paramount example. Because I think oftentimes moms, and probably this mom, has lost her identity to motherhood. And she's got to go work, put the food on the table, put the clothes on their back, and she has to be everything. The disciplinarian, you know, the one that also, you know, hopefully can have fun with her kids, but does she feel like she can't enjoy the kids because she's too caught up with having to actually do the physical labor of taking care with them? So she feels like she's not actually able to reap the benefits of her children because everything else takes precedent. You know, I'm saying a lot of things right now that are, you know, not as many tips, but more generalities about how she's feeling, just because I want her to understand that she probably is asking herself all these questions and feeling this way. And I want her to feel seen and understood about that. That if she is,
it's like, you know, her. So that she, because I know her, and it's like, you know, her, everything you're saying is all.
And my heart goes out to her for it, but it's important that she knows that all of those feelings are normal for the situation she's in. And I really want her to try to ask for help somewhere in her life. And I know that seems like, oh, that's just an easy fix to it. Maybe there's not money to go to paying for another childcare provider, or having to tighten the belt on that. And I understand. But that's why these connections with people in your community are important. Think about the quantity over quality situation, or the quality over quantity. Is there a way that you, this gal, this mom, can carve out time in her life for some sort of recharging? Because even if that's an hour that she gets to spend with a friend, or she gets to leave the house because someone's going to come in and spend time with those kids, it's just some breathing room for her. It's like the air and the tires need to be let out a bit. Like, she just needs to let the air out a bit. So it's about finding places in her life where she can ask people to step in and give her that quality time that maybe she needs for herself to recharge, so she can come back and show up and fight another day, survive another day. Some days it is just about survival. And I think that's how she feels right now, is it's about survival. But it sounds like she is doing a lot alone. And I don't want her to. I want her to try to lean on some people here, so she feels like she does have the opportunity to show up as her best self. Because I think she probably feels like she's failing at everything right now. And her children that are acting out, that part of the question too. I think reward charts are a really good way to try to get some control over sometimes, especially the oldest child, where it's chores, it's responsibility, it's a reward chart. It's starting to make them feel like they have to be a little bit responsible for themselves and for the house, and that they're a part of the house and part of the routine and the rhythm. Sometimes that in and of itself can start to add a little bit more discipline and a little bit more structure to the house when it's feeling a little bit out of control. So I would start there maybe too, and start giving, you know, some chores there to the older one. I know the younger one's still a little too little, but also knowing that they have, you know, her youngest child, that sibling relationship is important too, about modeling that behavior, taking care of your sibling. How do you show compassion for a person? And wanting to model that too, about how do you take care of each other? How do we take care of each other in this house? And having conversations about that. So I know that I went through that. I'm sorry. I know it was three parts and I kind of went all over the place in there, but I think she's lost her identity. She's lost who she is. She's just mom and daughter right now, but who is she? And she's not spending time on herself. And that's why I think she feels like everything is just spinning out of control.
Oh my gosh. You answered that so perfectly.
I hope so.
I answered that so perfectly. Ladies, are you ready to be a part of something truly special? Come join a powerful community of incredible women and develop lasting bonds in an affordable, safe, and sacred space. Experience the rewards that come with connection. Get access to amazing resources as well as unwavering support. Join now and unlock new possibilities for growth in your life. Get started today by visiting my website, www.lifeverbswithanSco.com, and use promo code 15OFF, that's the number 15, and the word OFF in capital letters, to receive 15% off of your membership price. Join us at the Women's Circle for an unforgettable evening of stories, strength, and support. This information is also located in the show notes. Blessings and abundance.
Another mom had asked this question. Florence, what's the best way to be there for your child when the other parent is hurting them by not being involved enough?
Okay, I'm going to give you an example from my own life. So my parents, my mom was, my book is dedicated to my mom and my grandmother. They were the loves of my life. They're the ones who showed me the village. My father, he worked very hard. He wasn't around a lot. And my father came from a really bad childhood. You know, his parents had a very messy divorce. His mother was awful. And my father wanted to try to change all of that when he became a parent. But unfortunately with me, he couldn't break some of that cycle that he experienced. And one of which was that emotionally, he was not regulated himself and didn't really know how to emotionally be there for us kids. And my mom really took on kind of all of that, as well as her parents. They were my emotional pillars. And I would say in a situation with a person that you can't change, I couldn't change my dad. As much as my mom would talk behind the scenes with him about his behavior or his temper or things like that, he couldn't be changed. So I would have a very honest conversations with your children. Depending on their age, you're going to word this differently, but depending on their age, helping them understand that some people just aren't capable of certain things. And if you're constantly looking for that person to accept you, take care of you, show up for you in ways that they're not, you're going to consistently be disappointed by it. And so it's you having to no longer take it personally, that this isn't that they're not loved, that this isn't that they're not worth it. It's them. It's the parent that is just not capable of it. And that you telling the child, you are worthy of love. You are extraordinary. You are kind. You are all these things. You want to reinforce that because they're just going to look over here at the parent who's not doing what they wish they would, instead of looking at probably all the people in their lives that are doing that, because we always want it from the person that's not giving it to us. So we have to start not taking it personally and start working on that. And also sent, you know, with a child that maybe needs some extra outside help, maybe a little therapy. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of health insurance, you know, covers that now. And maybe that's something, even if health insurance isn't going to do it, it's maybe something you can make room for in your budget because you feel like it's something that clinically needs to be addressed because you feel as the parents, you don't have the tools to do it. And that's okay. But you want to turn, and maybe even nonprofit organizations that your child could be a part of, that they could be an after school project, that they could go and feel supported and be able to talk about it in a space where other children can relate to it. But making sure they know that it has nothing to do with their self-worth, which is why they're being treated the way they are. That's a lesson I had to learn the hard way growing up, was that my dad was who he was, but it had nothing to do with who I was. And I couldn't take it personally.
Definitely. And even coaches, there are coaches that actually work with teens.
Yes.
Well, so even coaches as well. I love that. I love that. Your life verb, Florence, is people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou, honey, that is my favorite poet. When I saw that, I was like, yes, Florence.
That's at the end of every email I send. It's in my signature. That is my life philosophy, my verb. Like you said, that's my thing.
Yes, I love it. I love it. How has this life verb played a transformational role in your life?
I'll tell you where it started. My Nana, who I'm named after, her mom, Serafina Ferrara, she was a woman ahead of her time, and she was a businesswoman, couldn't even boil water, was a businesswoman first. She ended up founding, this is a little trivia for you. Do you know the candy Lemonheads?
Yes.
So she and her husband started that company, Ferrara Pan Candy. And she was an immigrant from Italy. I mean, and spoken broken English. But my Nana would tell me stories about her all the time because she died much long, long time before I met her. But I would hear stories about my great-grandmother constantly. And my Nana would say, she just made everyone feel good. She just made everyone feel so good. And she was the godmother of over 80 children, Zen. Over 80 children, my great-grandmother. She was adored. She was beloved. And I would hear my Nana from a young age just talk about her mother in this way. And I thought, my God, what a beautiful quality to have about yourself, to think that you make people feel that way. And obviously being a godparent to all those children shows you just how much the adults obviously, respected her, who the person she was and loved her. So, and my Nana was just like my great-grandmother. She was just like her mother. And my mom was just like her mom. And from a young age, I thought to myself, well, I want to be like them. I want to do what they're doing. They're doing something right. Now they do it better than I ever will be able to do. And, you know, my Nana's not here anymore, but my mom still is. And my mom is still the absolute shining example of that. And so I told myself, I think from a young age, that I was going to chase that legacy. And so I am constantly working on it because I was just totally enchanted by the amazing women the legacy that I come from. I stand on the shoulders of giants, as they would say. So I work every day to make my great-grandmother proud.
Well, you have definitely made her proud. I'm sure that she literally is so proud of you because the achievements that you have achieved so far. Oh my gosh.
Making me tear up. I can't even tell you. They did it though. They modeled that for me. And, that's all I care about truthfully is, you know, at the end of the day, how you make people feel, it's really all that matters. It really is, you know, just love as a verb, loving as a verb. And that's what that is. Yeah.
Loving is a verb. Yes. A verb. Oh my God. I could just hug you through this.
I could hug you too. I wish I could. I wish I could.
Yes.
Hey. Hey y'all, Pink Lady here. I'm a podcast producer, director, coach, and host. And I want to tell you all about my production company, Pink Lady Productions. We collaborate with creatives like you who are driven to share your message by launching your podcast from A to Z and coaching you through the process. To learn more about our services, check out our website at pinkladyprod.com. That's PinkLadyProd.com.
Your book is amazing. It's literally just fabulous.
Thank you.
But there are two things you stated in there that really shocked me.
Yeah.
You stated that loneliness can increase the risk of dementia by 50%. And you also stated that being lonely, you had read statistics somewhere that stated being lonely is as bad as smoking one pack of cigarettes a day. You source where you said that in the book. I'm just not recalling right now.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's all notated in the back. Don't worry.
Yes, it's all notated in the back, y'all.
It's all there. Don't worry. I cited my sources. Like,
yeah, she did. She did. And when I saw those, I was just floored by that information.
Yeah, yeah. It's, again, I wanted the book to feel like it was doable and tangible in a lot of ways. And statistics like that to me were like, I could picture, like, you could wrap your arms around it. You could run your fingers through it. I could understand that. Like, I mean, I've never smoked, but I've known people that have, and I had an ex that smoked a pack a day, and I was horrified. Like, he finally, you know, had to stop doing it, but how bad it was for his health. And when I would think about the smoking, and I would think about even the people in my family that have died from lung cancer, all of that, that really put it in perspective for me and thought, you know, people concentrate on the unhealthy things we do in our lives, like the food choices we make or smoking or anything like that. But why don't we concentrate on more the unhealthy choices we're making in terms of relationships that have the same exact effect on us? When you have a toxic relationship, a friendship, whatever it is, you know, I'm going to say this in a weird way, but I think it's going to hopefully resonate. I've had friendships before where you get so much anxiety, it makes your heart race, it makes your heart drop. It makes you not be able to breathe correctly. You know, you feel sluggish, you feel empty, you feel heavy. Think of all of those feelings related to unhealthy life choices, perhaps, that we're making. All of that is the same feeling that you get from relationships that aren't serving you too. So just as that pack of cigarettes isn't serving you, that's making you not be able to breathe, right? It's affecting how you're able to show up for people. It's affecting you being able to go outside, take a walk around the block, whatever it is. Just think about that. Maybe I'll leave you with that image. You know, you're not able to breathe as well when you're smoking that pack of cigarettes. The same way someone in a relationship with you, friendship or otherwise, could also be causing your breathing to constrict because they are not serving you. It's not healthy.
Woo! Drop the mic. With that, I love that. Drop the mic. Florence, how can our listeners connect with you?
I would love to hear from you. Truthfully, I answer every DM that I get. So please reach out to me, FlorenceAnn.Romano on Instagram. You could go to my website, FlorenceAnnRomano.com. You could get the book there or anywhere books are sold. But I truly mean it. Please connect with me on social media. I want you to think of me as your personal village. You are not alone. And if you are one of those people that are listening today that feel like you are and you don't know how to make that first step, please reach out to me and let's talk through it. Let's figure it out together. And, you know, I do hope that if you do pick up a copy of this book, that you do use it as an anchor in your life, as a true north for you. No matter what happens in your life, wherever you are, whatever age you are, whatever season of life you're going through, you can always come back to this roadmap. You can always work it over and over again. That way, you know that you can always combat that loneliness because you have a place to come home to.
You all, I encourage you to go and get this book. Florence and her team has provided 10% off using the discount code VILLAGER10. Visit www.beyondword.com. It's also scrolling at the bottom, and this information is also located in the show notes. My question to you is this. Now with this awareness, what will you do with it? How will you move differently in your life? Just as Florence stated, you have the ability to create your village. If you don't have one, it's time to build one. And this book is literally the perfect manual to support you in doing so. It's digestible for everybody. And every single one of us can relate to it. So how will you build your village? If you have a village and this conversation has stimulated, but this is not the village that I want, well, make some adjustments. Shift some things around. Like Florence said, it may be necessary to fire some people and create the village that you want. That's it. I would love to hear from you. Visit my website, www.lifeverbswithasspodcast.com, to let me know how this podcast episode activated you today. Send in your life verb, the rooting system that anchors you, and any questions that you would like to be answered. Be sure to like and review this podcast wherever you listen to it. To learn more about my personal coaching services for women, to join the Women's Circle, which is a virtual, supportive, uplifting, and empowering group of women who meet monthly from all over the globe, and to receive my quarterly newsletter, visit my website, www.lifeverbswithanspodcast.com. Contact me on Instagram at @lifeverbswithanspodcast. All this information is located in the show notes. Always remember to keep your soul hydrated and your spirit fortified.